Today's episode of Beautiful Anonymous is sponsored by MailChimp. When you're trying to tell your story to the world, MailChimp can help for free. And I know this. I tell you, many, many years ago, before this podcast was even a dream in my mind, I needed a mail list. I was building some momentum as a comedian, needed a way to get out there, said, maybe I'll sign up for this thing, MailChimp. And you know what? Turn things around, man. It's so well organized. They got these templates. You can code your own. It's so easy to use, and it gets word out there on the things you want right into the inboxes of the people you want to see it. MailChimp shows you how to send, when to send, why people open an email, or why they click delete. They help you find people, help you grow your business. I can vouch for that personally. It worked for me. MailChimp can help you tell your story effectively and find the people who care about it. More at MailChimp.com. What's it take to be a real schmuck? Filmmaker and comedian Jesse Kahnwieler finds out by interviewing some of the most hated people on the internet, including tech bro Martin Shkreli and the woman behind the Dear Fat People video. Hear how Jesse tracks down these notorious characters and what they have to say for themselves in her new show, Schmucks. Find out more about the show. Hear the trailer. Go to StitcherPremium.com/schmucks. That's StitcherPremium.com/SCHMUCKS. Hello to all my old friends who I feel so bashful around. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun, and I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hey everybody, it's Gethard. Welcome to Beautiful Anonymous. This is a very special episode. This is our 1 year anniversary. The very first episode of the show came out this week, 1 year ago. And it's been so crazy and unexpected. I can say very genuinely that starting with myself and then with everyone else associated with the show, none of us expected it to go in the direction it has, to have had the impact it has had. And it's I just want to say, sometimes I get personal on the show and I mention this, but just now I think is an opportunity for me to just give a very, very genuine thank you to everybody who has helped make this show happen. And most importantly, everybody who listens and supports. That it would be very hard for me to explain how much this has actually changed my life. I go out on the road now and every time I go and I meet fans of the podcast, every time when I was doing my off-Broadway show, every performance, people would wait afterwards, say they fans of Beautiful Anonymous, and to realize that this thing has immediately turned into this community and this like underground network of people, some who, you know, online I interact with and many others who are just out there listening. It's head spinning. And this year I did I taped an HBO special that's coming out in May, and I know for a fact that that this podcast is like, it was a thing that's not a thing that would have happened for me a couple years ago. And I think this podcast helped elevate me to a place where that type of thing happens now. And it's nuts. It's just nuts. It's just nuts to realize that this thing has affected my life so much and only in positive ways. And it's cool and it's beautiful. And I thank you guys for it so, so much. I want to make a special announcement, too, for everybody who is a fan of the show. This is something just came together last week. For anybody wondering about the future of the show, I have signed a new contract. Two more years of Beautiful Anonymous. We're going to get at least 100 more episodes. And that, I tell you, I don't know if I anticipated doing at least 150 of these things when I started. Realistically, I came to Chris, to everybody involved, Greta Cohn, and I was like, I want to do a phone call thing. And everybody was like, all right, we'll try it. And then it turned into this. And even I was like, whoa. So yeah, we're going to get at least 100 more in the can. And thank you guys. Last week's episode, entitled Made Out With My Teacher, can say definitively the most responded to episode in a year of this show. And I tell you, you ask me to look back on the year. If anybody was to ever ask me, you know, out of the whole first year, what's the episode that caused the most controversy? Welp, that one solved itself because Made Out With a Teacher is clearly the answer. In our Facebook group, we got the Facebook group. You should join it if you want. Beautiful Anonymous, the community. You just search that on Facebook, comes up. Usually put up the episodes. We get like 50 comments, 30, 40, 50 comments. This one, 800 comments. People, real concern, true concern, a lot, so many heartbreaking comments of people saying, I went through something similar with a teacher who took advantage of me. I thought there was one that summed it up best. There was someone who left a comment that said, I really hope this caller gets the help she thinks she doesn't need. And I think that summed up a lot of our feelings of just really hoping the caller is as okay as she said she was, and hoping that she gets any help she might need. And a lot of people super pissed off at that teacher, rightfully so. And then a really fascinating thing happened. This has never happened either in the history of the show. The caller responded. The caller started participating in the conversation. The caller went on Reddit, on the reddit.com/r/earwolf, and put up an anonymous thing saying, I'm caller 51, and here's some responses. A lot of people are saying they're worried about how much I was laughing, about how much I was brushing some stuff off. Here's what I'm thinking. You don't have to worry about me for this reason. And then that led to hundreds of responses. I put that up on the Facebook group as per her request, and the discussion surrounding that episode was mind-blowing. And you know what's weird too? You see some people going like, I don't know, man. She seemed like she was in on it. It's like, oh God, humanity reveals itself in all sorts of dark ways. But 90% of it was just people really hoping she's okay and showing some real anger at that situation. Okay, long intro today. Let's get to this week's episode. First ever time we're doing a follow-up call, second call from a caller we've already heard from. I think the caller that many of you guys found this show because our first episode was featured on This American Life. And huge thanks to Ira Glass and everyone at This American Life for turning this show into what it is. And Ron Paul's Baby, that name means a lot to many listeners of this show, and it means a lot to me. If there's any one person who took a chance calling this show who helped it turn into this thing that's changed my life, it's this. It's Ron Paul's Baby. If you haven't re-listened to the first episode in a while, might remember this guy was conceived at a carnival, delivered by Ron Paul, former libertarian presidential candidate, was looking to quit his job at Bank Tech, looking to get into some comedy, looking to really break out of a rut that he was in, screamed at some trees. And it was a guy who called before the show was even on the air and wound up changing my whole life. And we're going to hear from him again. You'll hear in the early part of the call, I'm really nervous. I'm really shy. It's weird. It's weird for me to talk to someone who I talked to anonymously over a year ago, hear from them again, wonder how they're doing. The only thing I can compare it to is it felt like running into someone I used to date. You'll hear I get way more comfortable about halfway through the episode, but in the beginning, it's weird. It's like running into an old flame. You're like, how are you? How have you been? And you're nervous. I don't know. Did being on the show mess this guy's life up? Did it help? There's so many questions that I had. And you'll hear I'm nervous. I'm bashful. But I was so glad to catch up with my old anonymous friend, Ron Paul's Baby, and I hope you guys will too. Let's check in with this old friend. Thank you so much once again to everybody who has turned this show into this really incredible thing in my life. Here's to two more years. Thanks for listening the first year. Let's do it.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello.
What's up?
This is my old friend Ron Paul's Baby.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the NBA.
The NBA. What if we had you back on the show after a year, didn't ask any questions about how you're doing, and just talked about the National Basketball Association? I might be down for that.
Yeah, you saw the Lou Williams trade?
I did, because he's on my fantasy team. And I'm not totally psyched about it. Not totally psyched about it, because now he's splitting those six-man minutes with Eric Gordon, and I'm not down. Thank you for continuing your tradition of only participating in this show while in the middle of hurricane-level winds.
Oh, yeah, I went to a park.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
I made sure to be outside.
To mimic the feel last
year. No, I pace a lot on the phone.
Yeah, I do the same thing. People in my life, my mom hates it. Yeah. She always yells at me, says it makes her nervous that I pace around.
Yeah, it's all I do. Is that Sorry Sally?
It is. Catchphrase that developed.
I was trying to catch up.
So you're not a regular listener. You don't listen.
I drop in and out.
I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to keep talking about the Lou Williams trade, I got some things I've always wanted to ask over the past year, whatever you want. I'm legit. I think it would be hilarious to talk about the NBA for an hour. People would kill me, but I would do it because I think it was funny.
Yeah.
Or I could ask you all the questions.
No, let's go.
I have.
What do you want to ask?
Okay. Bunch of things. Bunch of things. We'll get general.
Okay. I'm going to try to find an alcove from the wind.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to start with some general things and then some more specific ones. Because it's funny, because your episode cracked everything open. It was the first one, This American Life. Most people who listen to my show found it through you. Very interesting. So here's the thing. A lot of people in our Facebook group, a lot of people on Twitter, one of the common things I hear is a lot of people saying, like, I want to call your show, but I'm scared because what if people in my real life recognize me? So I guess my first question is, you more than anybody probably can speak to if that happens and what it's like.
Yeah. It went around. My brother heard it and then, like, got people, my family, to listen to it, which wasn't exactly thrilling to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Mostly it was surprising how well it was received, when to me it felt like, oh, that was a real low point.
So you called during a low point in your life and people actually positive feedback.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember.
Did it seem like I was doing great? Yeah.
No, I mean, I remember it. Bank tech. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I understand. I listened to This American Life. I believe they said you left bank tech.
Yeah.
So what's it? Okay. So talk to me. So people in your life, generally supportive. Has anybody ever recognized you by voice?
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, gone into a store and then the clerk at the store is like, wait, are you Ron Paul's baby?
No, that hasn't happened.
Okay. Okay. That's probably.
I expected there to be more people that would find me in some way.
Yeah.
And I was surprised that didn't happen, because the clues are out there.
Look at that. You're leaving it. If anybody, so people who want to go back to the first one, a very ominous, the clues are out there.
Yeah, there's enough information that I thought it'd be easy.
Yeah.
Oh, here the wind's kicking up.
Yeah, Jared has already said he really has to find a place without the wind. He really has to.
All right.
Whatever we can do.
I can do that.
Whatever we can do. Ron Paul's baby. So how, outside of, I mean, that's the first question I wanted to know, is like people affecting it. But here's another question I have for you that's kind of the.
Oh, this is awful right now.
We'll deal with it. I think everybody will be so excited to hear from you again. We'll deal with it. But if you can find a place without omnipresent wind. I see. Jared, I'm watching him just
cringe.
You think
it's less windy inside the woods?
Inside the woods. You're going to wander into the woods. Yeah, let's go inside the woods.
Oh, there's a nature trail, but.
Oh, wherever you are right now is good.
Oh, is this good?
Maybe the wind has just stopped. Who knows?
Yeah, it's dying down.
Yeah.
So all right. Let's talk about better things than the wind.
Yeah. And
stop, hit me with a question.
Comically, there's the wind again. So, so I asked you, like, if people in your life found it, how that went. Here's another thing. I've seen so many people online say that your episode changed their lives. Like dozens, if not hundreds of people who say things like adjusted their thinking, or like they quit their jobs. Like, how does that make you feel to know that there's like dozens of people who quit their jobs because they were inspired by you?
No, I didn't know that happened. I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say it right now. Quit your job. If you're working right now, just leave.
Just anybody. Even if you're okay with your job. Even if you're pretty happy there, just quit.
Yeah. Even if you're okay, just start over.
So talk to me about that. That's nice, because I on my end, when people say they quit their job because they listen to this podcast, it fills me with this weird mix of pride and just total fear and anxiety that anyone would do that.
Yeah.
None of that for you. You're like, no, good to go.
It felt like once I took that first step and quitting, I just stopped showing up.
Really? Oh, you ghosted them.
Yeah, I got up one day and was like, okay, this is done.
You just ghosted bank tech. Was it like you didn't show up in the morning, or you just left halfway through a day?
I just didn't show up one Monday.
Yeah. Did they call you?
I sent an email that was like, hey, I can't come in today. And I waited a few days and was like, I'm not coming back.
And what'd they say?
I didn't really get a response. I just got my last paycheck and like the notice that my health care.
Bro, you got to get out of this wind. Like, not just for the quality of the podcast, but because it sounds like an unsafe level of wind.
All right, here I can do an old callback and get inside a car.
Get inside a car, just like last year, man. Let's do that, because this is an unlistenable amount of wind.
Now I've got a Hyundai accent.
Oh, you've got some sort of Hyundai. The second word was swallowed up by, again, the tornado that you are in the middle of. What is going on where you live?
An accent.
A Hyundai accent. Able to discern from Ron Paul's baby. Why do you live someplace so windy, man?
Here, I'm getting back. Here's the car.
Wait, you're in the car?
No, I'm going for the car. I'm standing by the car.
Yeah, let's get in the car, man.
Here we go.
What if this episode was just sponsored by Hyundai Accent? If the last year was just very long con. Windy. If your life is windy and full of chaos, scream your head off and buy a Hyundai Accent. There you are.
Do we need to do a blue apron or anything?
I like that you're giving me the business, Ron Paul's baby.
But so what were we talking about? I quit my job. I stopped showing up. They just cancel your health care right away.
Yeah.
Oh, I cashed out my 401k and just did nothing for like 5 or 6 months.
That's cool. And how are you feeling now? That's the big question. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'd say right now, big picture, my life's very good. The last few weeks, I've had a bad month.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
But, not that bad.
Okay. Compared to where you were at.
Seasonal stuff and depression.
Yeah. Oh, I'm dealing with that, too, big time.
But, yeah. But I started therapy in the last month.
Oh, nice. That's cool. How do you like it?
It's good. It was the first like therapy session I had, I felt great for a couple hours afterward. Then I just got irritable about everything.
Yeah. Well, it dredges so much to the surface.
So I could tell like, it worked. It actually brought some things up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool that you're going for it though.
And they do that. They did like an 8-page questionnaire about like all your issues.
Oh, I don't think I've ever done that.
And I was just sitting there thinking, like, you've never done that? I thought that's just how they started therapy, to, like, diagnose you. They just ask, like, every question.
Yeah.
Like, how sad are you? How sad have you been?
Yeah.
And then it was the kind of thing where I was trying to judge her reaction, because I was like, I don't know if everybody is saying yes to all of these questions.
So you're checking yes on all those boxes.
Yeah, and then so when I got to a no, I'd be like, okay, good, no.
So you're immediately insecure about what your therapist is thinking about it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
I was trying to get my read on her.
I'm glad you're doing that. So I want to know, walk me through some of the... I feel like everybody listening, like you're pretty beloved, this community, actual millions of people have heard you.
I'm a cult hero.
You're a cult hero. Actually, millions of people have heard your story. So walk us through the bullet points of what's been going on since that episode dropped. What are the highlights? What are the highlights, the lowlights of the year? How have things changed? How are they the same? I want to know everything.
All right. I feel like I don't have stories for a long time because I just took time off and didn't do anything.
That's great. That's
but
great.
I started substitute teaching in August.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Working with kids?
Yeah. It was nice for a while, then it got getting to be too much.
Wait, episode, weren't you interested in like working with special needs kids?
Yeah, I have stories related to that.
Like pinning them down, like, you wanted to like pin them down and stuff and sit on them and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever get to try that?
Yeah, I talked about the big bean bag.
Yeah, I remember
that. I did not get to drop the bean bag, but I was in a situation where like another teacher threatened the beanbag, and then I just got, I got to stand there like, oh, this could be the moment. But I didn't drop any beanbags on a kid, but okay. I did put a kid in like a bag.
You put a kid inside a bag.
It's like this Lycra. It's kind of like the morph suit material.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? Like a Green Man suit.
You don't have to explain a morph suit to me, my man.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that does make sense.
The Chris Gethard Show. I mean, the Chris Gethard Show, we spent, especially in our public access days, morph suits pretty much, I would say 30% of the comedy of the show revolved around morph suits.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
You were
old school.
It's like this sensory deprivation kind of bag, and you put them in it and zip them up and just have them like kick and punch around to tire themselves out.
And this is like if a kid's physically out of control.
Yeah, it was this really hyperactive kid. He'd just get up out of the classroom and sprint down the hall. And then the kindergarten teacher would be like, you got to go catch him.
Yeah.
So for about 6 weeks, my job was like, I just chase this kid through the hallways and like carry him back to class.
This one individual kid was the bulk of your job.
Yeah, they put me in there to be like, you're going to wrangle this one kid. In a very real way, I got to live my dream.
Yeah, yeah, put a kid in a bag.
But, yeah, I put a kid in a bag and then shot a syringe of Vyvanse into his mouth.
What's that?
Vyvanse, it's like ADHD medication.
Oh, okay. And I assume he was prescribed this drug.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 okay. You're not...
Yeah, I didn't just do it out of my own choosing. It wasn't my call.
So you said you did that for only 6 weeks, though, huh? You said for about 6 weeks?
Yeah, because I've done different, like, subbing assignments and dropped them. That's the beauty of it, is you can take off days whenever you want.
Yeah. And is that what you're still doing? Are you substitute teaching?
Yeah, I've still been doing that, but... No, that was the best part, is this last month when I wasn't feeling great, I just didn't work for most of the month.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's nice. Like, I got to say, like, there's something to be said for setting up a life where you can accommodate. If you're like, yeah, you know what, sometimes I just need to go off and do my own thing, you know, fix my head up, get off the grid a bit, to set up a life where you can do that, I think that's improvement, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really nice.
That's cool. And I will say, too, you sound less stressed out than you did last year.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to look back and imagine how stressed out I was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like the same reality of a year ago and then how I feel today.
Yeah. So things have changed.
Yeah.
That's nice. What's going on?
It was something like once I got a few changes going, like it felt like momentum just kept going in my favor.
That's cool to hear. That's cool to hear. And when you say momentum kept going in your favor, what's that mean? What else did it, what else is, as that started rolling, what's that entail?
I think I got better at making and maintaining my friendships and connecting with people. I think having a podcast where you reveal all the most personal things about your life can help you connect with people.
When they hear it, or just in general, like you've said it out loud and now it's not so scary to say it again?
Yeah, I think just it being out there helped.
Yeah. What a nice sentiment. Having it out there helps. You know what else is out there that helps? A lot of products and services that can help your life. They provide things for you. We have a lot of advertisers over the last year have made this show happen. So happy to bring it to you for free. And it's all because of them. So listen to these ads. Use the promo codes. Help the podcast out. We'll be back with more of Ron Paul's Baby Part 2. Incredible home cooking has never been more attainable thanks to Blue Apron, because for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron delivers easy-to-follow seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. No more overspending at restaurants or high-end grocery stores. Blue Apron, you prepare delicious, memorable meals yourself in under 40 minutes. And I'm telling you, I've talked about it before. Me and my wife, we started using Blue Apron. All of a sudden, we're cooking together. We have this set-aside time together. It was really, really good for our household and our family. And they partner with local farms and fisheries and ranchers. They ensure everything's of highest possible quality and no waste, okay? They ship the exact amount of ingredients you need. It's delicious. It's quality. You feel good about it. Some of the meals available in March, salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chops and miso butter with bok choy and marinated apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips, spicy shrimp coconut curry with cabbage and rice. Tell me none of those appeal to you. You're a liar if you do. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/beautiful. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/beautiful. Blue Apron is a better way to cook. Look, maybe you're hiring. Maybe you're someone in a position to employ someone else. But you gotta find, where do you post to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place is not enough to find quality candidates. If you want the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top sites. And now you can. ZipRecruiter already has 9 million resumes you can search through in their database. You add multiple people to your account, make it the most efficient for your team to find the best hire. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. ZipRecruiter, it's like a search engine for finding and posting jobs. Find candidates in any city, any industry, nationwide. You post once, you find all the quality candidates. You don't have to juggle tons of emails and calls. You just screen people quickly, rate them, hire them right there. And if you have any issues, they got friendly and human support staff ready to help. Find out why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses and featured on Forbes, Wall Street Journal, Time, New York Times, all kinds of places. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ziprecruiter.com/beautiful. That's ziprecruiter.com/beautiful. One more time, try it free, ziprecruiter.com/beautiful. All right, thank you again to everybody who advertises on this show. You guys help make it happen in a huge way. And now, let's check in with our old friend, Ron Paul's baby.
Yeah, I think just it being out there helped.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. So what is going on in the personal life then?
I don't not much lately.
Okay. I like that you took some time to think about it.
Is that a great answer?
I mean, you took some time to think about it. You really ran through it. He said, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to make anything
up. Not much.
Strike out. Striking out on it.
That's yeah.
Okay. That's okay. It's all right.
No, I feel like I got more depressed in the last month, and it got to a point where I tried to back off of some friendships for a little bit because it was getting to the point where some friends were telling me, like, hey, you don't need to tell me how sad you are all the time.
Wow. So really, yeah. So it's hitting you hard.
Hmm?
So the sadness been hitting you hard lately?
Yeah, it hit me hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad the month of February.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of the most intense depression I'd had in a time where it felt like, oh, I'm kind of living healthy and I put together a good life and I'm just going to have to accept like, oh, I'm always going to feel a little sad probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was something for me that I realized at some point was like, I think I have to stop trying to solve this and just realize like, maybe I can just kind of reconcile the fact that it's a part of things. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I got to stop feeling like a failure if it's not going anywhere because it's not. It's just not. So I got to just learn how to let it coexist with all the other feelings. That'd be okay. That was just me, though.
Yeah. No, I feel the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've definitely had the moments of realization where it's just like, oh, this is who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not bad. I feel like, especially this last stretch when I was doing so bad, I would kind of tell myself, like, I think this is going to make me a better person once I'm feeling better.
Yeah. Any shit hit the fan? Like, what were any, like, was it just like a general malaise, or did you have like actual stuff where you felt like bottom's falling out?
Yeah, I'd been working at a kindergarten all through January. Here, I'm stepping outside. How's the wind?
I hear it coming back almost immediately, but not as severe as it was. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there it is. No, I was working the beginning of the year at this kindergarten. And then, so I had a regular schedule for the first month or so of the year. And then that ended, and I just immediately lost all sense of schedule or time. And that's bad. That's bad if you're mentally ill.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you sometimes have to, like, wait between those gigs? It's like, oh, we got a month in January. We're working the whole month, and then we'll call you if we need anybody. That, I would imagine that's part of it, right?
Yeah. Like, I could work every day, but I usually try to take some time.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you a member of the teachers union? How does that work with substitutes? I've never
thought. No, we don't have a union in Texas.
Oh, shit. So you don't get health insurance or nothing?
Yeah, no, I'm like a independent contractor.
Ooh, 1099. 1099 income.
Yeah, they give you $100 a day flat.
Wow. So you can work every day, make $500 a day. $500 a week, rather. That ain't bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel awkward.
But
I feel awkward. Like, I feel like I'm being awkward.
What?
I feel like I'm being awkward.
You feel? I feel awkward too.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like I feel like I know you, but I only know you from that one conversation.
Yeah.
And I'm like hoping you're doing so well, and I'm scared to ask. It sounds like maybe you're like, in my mind, there was like this maybe miraculous turnaround, and it feels like if we talked like 3 months ago, you would have had that story and that excitement, but instead it slipped back into the general malaise, in a way where I feel a little bad. I don't know, man. I'm feeling awkward here.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm feeling awkward here, Ron Paul's baby.
Yeah, it feels a little awkward.
Yeah.
Do I feel that malaised?
No, I mean, not at all. I will say, again, the general energy, like, you've been making a couple jokes, messing with me at the top of the call. You weren't doing that last year. You're just a real stressed out dude.
Yeah.
You know what it almost feels like? It feels like when you run into somebody you used to date.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that same feeling of, like, when you run into someone you used to date and you're like, hey, how are you? How's it going? We haven't talked about, but you know, like, you used to share something here.
Yeah,
like walking on eggshells around you, Ron Paul's baby.
Yeah, because you know, because it's familiar, but you also don't know that person.
Yeah,
anymore.
But also, you know, this podcast has completely changed my life. It's completely changed so many aspects of my life, and so much of that is because of you.
No.
So I got to thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's become like the actual foundation of my life.
Yeah, I'm glad I could give you a hit podcast.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You've got an HBO special coming up, right?
Well, I don't know how much you had to do with that one, but no, I think the podcast does help with that, though. I think it did, like, raise my profile in a way where that became that did become much more of a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the past year's been pretty head spinning, and so much of it is because of this show, and so much of that is because of you.
Well, yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Did you ever, I'm going to ask the big one. Do you know what I'm going to ask? Here's the one that I've been scared to ask.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is that I'm going to ask?
Oh, yeah, I know.
You say it then.
No, I did some improv shows and stuff, but I haven't done stand-up.
Okay, but you got on stage. But you never did the open mic?
No.
You promised me, man! You promised me!
You listen back. You can hear me not commit.
That is true. You hedged your bets.
Yeah.
So you still haven't done stand-up, but you got into the improv?
Yeah. I did improv for a while during the summer.
That's nice. How'd you like it?
Which I've done before. I like it.
But are you still thinking about that open mic?
I don't...
Or is it not? You don't care anymore.
Not really. Yeah. I think it was something I focused on in my stress and anxiety. But yeah, now I feel like I've got to go do it now if we're talking about it.
Yeah. What do we got to do here?
But it felt like other things were going well in my life, and I felt fulfilled and creatively fulfilled.
That's good. That's
doing
good.
More things, so that wasn't ever the top of my list.
Okay, so there were other things that pushed the same buttons you were looking to push, so you didn't necessarily need that one specific thing anymore.
Yeah.
What were those things? What jumps out as this, like, this creative fulfillment that helped put out that fire? What are some of those things?
I was painting a lot during the summer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was painting a lot, and then my roommates hired a junk removal service, and they threw away all my stuff.
What? What are you talking about?
So it was... No.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I got to create all these things and just let them go.
Wait, they threw out your actual paintings?
Yeah, they threw out everything I had in the garage ready to move. This junk removal guy came and just threw everything out.
Why? Wait, did you have any warning on
this? I lost some boots.
You lost some boots? They threw out your paint and your boots?
Yeah, I woke up and everything was gone. Yeah, I made some people give me some money.
That sounded
awesome. I fought that battle.
That sounded badass. I made some people give me some money.
I was just like, you're gonna pay for this.
And you meant money wise, not a supervillain way.
Yeah, not like physically.
Not like you will someday pay for this. Like, actually, here's the monetary value of the belongings that I'm missing, and I would love some money.
I made an itemized list and just sent it to someone and was like, here, send me this money.
Yeah, that's better.
And
that's
then I did it with such confidence that it worked immediately. And I was like, oh, you didn't have to.
Wow. So did they throw out all your painting supplies or the actual paintings that you made?
Actual paintings and supplies.
Oh, that's a bummer. But wait, hold on a second.
What?
There's not, and this was zero warning. This went from, you just woke up one day, it was all gone. They didn't say, you didn't have any warning? Ooh, look at that.
They said, like, we're going to hire a junk removal service. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And then they did. And then I got my stuff thrown away.
And how much warning was there? Like, you could have conceivably set aside all the things you didn't want removed by a junk removal.
Well, like, I kind of thought, like, oh, this doesn't look like junk.
Oh, yeah. You thought that that junk removal guy would have seen art and said, hey, that's fine art.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in the other direction.
Yeah, no. He did not have the same appreciation for art as I did.
That's a real bummer. And you still live with these people?
No, that was when I was moving out.
So you stopped painting after that? You didn't get back on the horse that threw you?
Yeah, no, I actually haven't. I didn't think about that.
You never thought about... So painting was bringing you all this joy, and then someone threw it out, and that was traumatic, so you just never paint again?
Yeah.
That's
it didn't seem that traumatic.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So, all right, where are we at here? You got some more questions?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're telling me that you didn't have to do the open mic because of creative fulfillment. Painting was one of those things. Then all your paintings got thrown out by a junk removal person. You sent an itemized list. You got your money back. So you moved on from the actual whole field of visual art at that point. What else? What else has happened in the past year that's helped address some of the things you talked about last year? Walk me through it here. I want to know more.
I don't know what else has been going on. Let me think.
So that was it. Most of your years.
I taught some art classes.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, what?
I can't.
I taught some art classes in kindergarten.
Oh, that's nice.
And would have kids like draw their dreams or their feelings.
Ooh. How'd that turn out?
Oh yeah, it was fun.
That's good. Why is this so awkward? Is it so awkward, man?
What? I don't know. What's going on?
You're feeling it too, huh?
Yeah, no, definitely. I feel like what was that painting story?
What painting?
That didn't feel like that went many places.
No, I liked it. And then I got sad. I got sad because the junk removal service. And then that sounded like a thing that would send me into like a real crazy amount of emotion. And you were like, no, at the end of the day, I sent an itemized list, got my money back, and just moved on from art. That's fine.
Yeah.
I just can't believe the whole past year has been like painting a few months and then sticking kids in bags.
Yeah, that's been the highlight.
All right. That's fair. Any other screaming? Do you ever scream anymore? You just scream into the sky in a rage anymore? Or was that just a one day only thing?
Yeah. Oh, no. I scream. I'm a screamer.
Is that true? You still do scream?
No, I had a moment in the last few weeks where I was frustrated, and then I drove my car to the mall parking lot. Like, I'm just going to scream for a second.
Really? So screaming has become a habit. The mall parking lot. Why the mall parking lot?
Yeah. I was going to Barnes & Noble.
Oh, okay. Okay. And what, do you scream just general screams or actual words?
Just general, just guttural.
Yeah, I could use a few of those. I got a lot of anxiety lately. I haven't really talked about this with anybody except you. You're the first person I've really admitted that to.
Was it about anything in particular?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's a very strange thing. Because most of my life, and most of my career in particular, I was very much an underdog and a failure. You know? That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people who liked me because I was very visibly a mess and an underdog trying to break through. But then because of this podcast, Mike Birbiglia's movie, I did this show off Broadway, HBO, I'm not an underdog anymore. And it's led to this weird feeling where it's like, well, then what am I? Because you can't sit around claiming to be an underdog when you're not one anymore. You can't. Nobody wants to hear the whining of someone who's doing visibly better than they used to be. You know, at that point it becomes whining instead of what it used to be, which was me just honestly saying, hey, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit of a train wreck, but I'm going to be totally cool with that and be proud of that. So I've tried to figure out like what am I now? You know what? I spent my whole life being one thing. Now I'm another thing, and I don't know how to handle. I don't know how to handle just being chill. The fact that things are going well. I don't know how to have things go well. My whole life, things have not gone well, and I got good at not going well. I was very good at not going well. It was like my whole thing. Now it's going well. Yeah. It actually stresses me out more. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, you're having a identity crisis.
Yeah, a little bit, but like a very, very privileged one, like a very, very entitled privileged one where it's like, things are better than they used to be, and it makes me nervous. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, I think that in my own head. I'm like, fuck this. I feel foundationless because things actually have been working out. What a fucking crybaby I am. And then meanwhile, there's people with like really horrific problems in the world, and I'm sitting around stressing out because things are going okay. It's not cool.
No, I get it. I get the feeling.
It makes me want to scream in a Barnes & Noble parking lot, man.
Yeah, it's nice. It really helped, like screaming or like, I don't, scream singing to music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's something I do a lot.
I get it. So what do you have to...
That's a help.
All the people in this world, and I'm talking actual millions because of This American Life, we all know. Actual millions of people.
Yeah.
Identified with you, inspired by you, regular dude, gutting it out in Texas, screaming in a Barnes & Noble parking lot. What advice do you have for the world? What thoughts do you have for the world who has spent the past year discovering you and being inspired by you? bet everybody's waiting on bated breath. They want to know. This hero. This salt of the earth hero. He's going to give us his advice when we come back. First, though, we got a lot of advertisers. They help us bring you this show for free, and we're psyched to hear from them. So use those promo codes, help out Beautiful Anonymous, and we'll be back after this. What happens when a med school graduate with $500,000 in student loan debt can't find a job, starts conducting free therapy sessions for patients he finds on therapists? There's only one way to find out. Watch the new series Shrink, featuring Tim Baltz and other top Chicago comedians, only on CISO. Everybody knows people come out of Chicago, killer comedians, and everybody knows CISO. It's a great, great platform for comedy. With CISO, you get unlimited access to CISO original series, next day late night, hilarious stand-up specials, binge-worthy classics, 42 seasons of SNL, the entire Monty Python catalog, the IT Crowd, so much more. Plus, CISO has tons of other great original series like The McElroy Brothers, My Brother and Me. One of my best friends, J.D. Amato, worked on that show, and can't recommend it highly enough. They also have an animated fantasy role-playing game starring Dan Harmon, fake reality show created by the geniuses behind Comedy Bang Bang, Reno 911. It's all handpicked, ad-free, and on demand. Access CISO anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, Apple TV, almost any other device, all for just $3.99 per month. No joke, $3.99. Go to CISO.com. That's SEESO.com right now. Sign up for 1 month free with the promo code BEAUTIFUL at checkout. That's CISO.com, spelled SEESO.com. Promo code BEAUTIFUL. Check it out. All this month, we're asking people to share a podcast they love with their friends. You may have heard a lot of podcasts are doing this, not just me, not just on Earwolf, all across the podcasting world. Everybody's teaming up because podcasting is a pretty new medium. There's probably a lot of people in your life who don't even know how to access podcasts. We're really hoping you guys will tell them about it. And if you want to tell them about this show, I'd be very, very grateful. But, you know, there's all kinds. Use the hashtag TryPod, hashtag TryPod. Just plug podcasts you love. If you're looking for a new one, Russell Brand has a new show, Under the Skin. He's talking to people, serious stuff, academics, pop culture, arts. He's trying to find truth behind reality, and he's a funny guy. His show just launched, first episode. He talks to about the normalization of violence within academics. Sounds very interesting. Check it out. And yeah, any podcast that you love, spread word on it. Hashtag TryPod, TryPod. And if you get friends who are asking you, okay, I'm interested, how do I learn more? You send them to trypodcasts.org. It's like a primer, walks them through everything. Trypodcasts.org, hashtag TryPod. And thank you guys so much for helping out. We're really happy to have such great advertisers supporting the show, but their support wouldn't be possible without the support we receive from all of you. Because look, we rely on your input to help us understand our audience and show advertisers just how great our listeners are, okay? I really like that we're this upfront, transparent about it. So please set aside 5 minutes, go to podsurvey.com/stories, take a quick, easy, anonymous survey. Once you've completed the survey, you can enter a monthly drawing to win a $100 Amazon gift card. Even if you've taken our show's podcast listener survey before, current one's new and different. So that's podsurvey.com/stories. Thanks again for helping us find the best advertisers so we can keep this show free. Thank you so much to everybody who advertises on this show. And please do use those promo codes, help out the show. Now, let's finish it off. Ron Paul's baby has returned. Let's hear how he's doing. What advice do you have for the world? What thoughts do you have for the world who has spent the past year discovering you and being inspired by you?
Oh, I don't know. That's a lot. What's my word of advice to those people?
What's like knowing that you are a beacon of hope to millions? What sits in your gut? What comes when I say that to you? You've been a beacon of hope to millions of people. What in your gut? What comes out of your mouth when you hear that?
I don't know. That's hard. Like you were saying, it's hard to deal with actually doing well. Yeah, it's hard for me to really understand and accept that. Like that. Because like I said, like I felt like that conversation was something that was like, oh, I'm glad. Like I didn't think that would ever see the light of day. And it was the kind of thing that was like, oh, that was my low point. Let's move on from that. So then the reception was shocking, and like the feeling of being under a magnifying glass and then being accepted.
Yeah. Embraced, beloved, rooted for,
yeah.
Empathized with. And I'm telling you, I've had people come up to me in person and say, I heard that guy. I quit my job. I rearranged my whole life because of that guy. And they're talking about you, man.
Yeah. No, that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you're running around, you're chasing a kid down a hallway so you can throw him in a morph suit.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
Yeah, and a nurse, it seems like a nurse just gave me a syringe of Vyvanse and was like, you should give this to him.
That's a weird thing too, isn't it? The weird thing is like you gave us this snapshot of what your life was like on that particular day. And in my mind, I've had this thing where I'm so excited to talk to you again because I want to hear about like how it changed things for you and the effect that it had. And realistically, the answer that I guess I always knew in my heart that's really being underlined by this conversation is like very mild effect and life goes on and you pay your rent and you found a new way to do it and that's cool. And you're just still a regular guy with regular problems.
It was much more than a mild effect.
Okay, tell me about that.
It gave me a pretty intense couple months after that came out.
Really?
Well, and like I said, I don't know if you know about the timing of this, but like I'd set a date to quit my job, and then that podcast came out like the week before that date. And then that was kind of the moment that everything hit at once and was like, okay, yeah, I've got to just not go back.
Oh, wow. So, because we taped that episode many months before it came out. I forget how many, but a long time. So you
Yeah, I think it was in November, I think.
November. It came out in March. So you kind of forget about it. You're like, ah, maybe he bailed on that project. Maybe that thing, he thought better of it. And then I drop it right into your lap when it's time to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, actually, I skipped work that day and then woke up to just like my phone blowing up.
Your phone blowing up, but from who? From whom?
Friends or people that listened that knew me.
So this thing explodes and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait, this is real. So it did spread. Yeah. It wasn't like the secret in your life. Like people knew.
Yeah, people knew. If you knew me and listened, you knew immediately.
So what about when it was on This American Life? That must have been nuts.
Yeah.
What's that like? What are the calls like that? Because everybody listens to This American Life. So what are the calls? The day that airs, what's that like for you? What's that day like?
Like, I've been a huge, like, talk radio fan for all my life.
Uh-huh.
So That felt very validating, but I think when it happened, I didn't realize how popular This American Life was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I was kind of contacted and was like, oh, yeah, that'll be cool. Like, do whatever you want. And then, like, I realized, like, this is the most popular podcast in the world.
Yeah. Like by far. Hands down by far.
Yeah.
So what happened? Like,
no, I had family members that just like listened to This American Life and then were like, I heard it all.
Yeah. And are they like reaching out like you're okay? Or is it that weird thing of like, Your 15 minutes of fame are here, and they're like not even asking you if you're okay. How does that go with the family?
No, a lot of people asking if I'm okay.
That's good. That's nice to realize that they care.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then it being out there, I did have fear for a couple like, oh, that's all out there. Like, who's going to hear it? Who do I not want to hear this?
Yeah, anybody fit that bill? Any painful ones?
No, nobody that's reached out and said they heard it.
Okay. So it sounds like it was a weird window where you didn't realize what was going to happen. You had to deal with it twice, both with the initial release of the podcast and with This American Life. Ultimately, it put a spotlight on a lot of things that you didn't know were going to be as public as they were, but it neither destroyed your life nor particularly saved it.
No, I'd say it's closer to saving it than destroying it.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
And I got the opportunity to just burn down most of my life.
That's cool. And that's not because of the show. That's because you needed to do that. And the show became this weird time for you to say that out loud. That was like, that's the thing I think about when I look back at you and a lot of the other callers is like, you got to say that thing out loud. And it was cool for me to be the person you said it to. And I'm glad it helped. Just glad it helped in some way.
Yeah, no, it really did help.
It's good, man. It's nice. It helped
me
too.
I think you said affect permanent change.
Yeah.
And like I said, like feeling like I was so exposed, like it was all out there. I was like, okay, I'm not taking this back now. If you've heard, you know it all. So I've got to move on from there.
I guess that's true. Like once Ira Glass is talking about it, it's not like you put that cat back in the bag like it's just some ADD riddled child. That cat's out of the bag.
Yeah.
Can't shoot that weird stuff into that cat's mouth.
No. Yeah, I had like ex-girlfriends telling me that like it made their mom cry.
Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah.
So wait, the moms knew you, and how do you play that? Are you single? Are you single right now?
Yeah.
So when these ex-girlfriends get in touch, what are you like? Are you like, that's very nice, please tell your mom I'm doing a lot better? Or are you like, oh wow, look at that. Hey, by the way, I'm Ron Paul's baby. Maybe we should reconnect. Maybe it's not. How do you play that? Do you use that? Do you use that 15 minutes of fame? Try to get back in with the ex-girlfriends?
Yeah. No, I used it. I've definitely
really?
Let's see if this can get me some dates.
Really?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went well.
Really? Tell me about that. I want to know everything
about
that.
It got me some attention.
It did. From the people. Have you ever met anybody who like listens to the show and doesn't know that you're Ron Paul's baby? Have you ever met somebody who brings up the show and doesn't realize they're talking to the guy who's the very foundation of how this show was built?
Yeah.
Really?
Or I've had people mention it and talk about it.
And do you reveal yourself? Do you go, oh, did you ever happen to listen to that?
No, usually I play it low key.
Yeah. So how do you try to get dates out of this? Tell me about that, because that's making me really happy. Tell me what's the game like on that? How do you try to be smooth with that?
Oh, no, it worked the one time I reconnected with that ex, and we hung out a lot during the summer.
Yeah. That's cool. Your old pal Gethard helping you out on that
one. I had Tinder for a while, and I put that I was on This American Life in there.
No way. No way.
That's my brag, yeah.
So you were
no one asked.
So it didn't work at all. But you were actively trying to use your appearance on This American Life to get hooked.
I was going
to
use it.
You're trying to get hooked up a little bit.
Well, then it was the kind of thing that if I actually, like, a girl asked me about that, like, I'd have to, well, okay, listen to this podcast then.
Yeah, that one might backfire.
Decide if I might be a little too emotionally intense for you.
Now that you've heard the whole story of my birth at a carnival, as well as the massive amount of discontent I have with my present, this feeling of being trapped, you want to get on board with this short-term or long-term? What should this be? What do you think?
Yeah. No, I find that... Yeah, girls love it when you have a lot of issues with your relationship with your mother.
They love that.
Yeah, I think that helps a lot.
Ain't that the truth? But you know what they do love is a man who's willing to be vulnerable and speak to his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe not so much for you.
Well, most of my first dates go about like that conversation.
How so? What's that?
Where I'm just like, all right, here's it. I put it all out on the table immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't tend to play it cool.
Yeah. Okay. And then they run for the hills, or they get in on it? People are like, oh, you're so brave and emotionally open and honest? Or are they like, hey, you're intense, I'm out?
I think people are intrigued at first, and then they realize I'm intense.
How do the second dates go? Do the second dates go like this current conversation, where it's just very uncomfortable for the first half hour.
It's just awkward.
And then the...
And we're just going to leave after this?
Yeah. Probably talk to you next year. I think this should be... I think I'll follow up with you every year. Like the 7-Up series. You know that documentary series? The 7-Up series? It'll be like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And me and you will just...
They follow the kids around?
Yeah. I'll just follow you around like that kid, those kids. And me and you will check in once a year.
Yeah. I'll try to get a better year going.
No. It sounds like you did pretty good by and large.
No, it's going good. I think the... let me... Here, I'll summarize what you've done for me. That podcast helped me... yeah, like you said, emotionally vulnerable. I feel like it helped me connect with people more, and it did change my life. But then, yeah, the story is like, oh, life still goes on.
Yeah.
And everything that did change, like, oh, I'm still going to be sad for a month sometimes.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we're both realizing, and that it's fun to have that conversation. It's fun for it to blow up bigger than we thought. The This American Life thing sounds like it was head spinning for both of us, but it's also like,
yeah,
presupposes that it's this packaged, edited thing that has an answer. And I think what we're learning a year later is like, life doesn't have an answer. It continues.
Yeah.
It's got its ups and its downs. And there's no, one of the things about your phone call was I think so many people listening left and went, man, I hope it really has a happy ending for that guy. And it's not that it hasn't, it's that life doesn't actually accommodate that feeling of a happy ending. It doesn't accommodate.
Yeah.
You move on. You schedule some gigs. You find a gig that works a little better for you. One where you can schedule it on your own, have a little more flexibility, work with kids like you wanted to do. You take some improv classes. You get up on stage. You paint some pictures. And then you find the next thing. When that burns out, now you find the next thing that makes you happy.
Yeah. It's been a good year.
That's good, man. I think a lot of people are going to be happy to hear you say the sentence, it's been a good year.
Yeah.
So here's my thing, Ron Paul's baby.
You know, I'm just...
Go for it. You're just reflecting? Right. What are you doing? You say it.
Yeah, I was just reflecting. It's hard to believe it's been a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels longer and shorter.
I would say the same thing, especially in the context of this show and how it's changed everything for me and all the different directions it's gone.
Yeah.
Here's something I want to try. Okay?
Okay.
It's probably people who have heard you before. They heard you parking lot at Bank Tech, yelling at that tree.
Yeah.
They probably said to themselves, bullshit. It's bullshit. It's like, this is like emo, pseudo self-help bullshit. It sounds like,
yeah,
realistically, it did help you in some ways, but also life goes on and real life is real life. To those people who are in situations that you were in before your first call, what do you have to say to them? What do you have to say to anybody who feels stuck, who feels like they're at the beginning of that process where maybe they haven't said it out loud yet? Just what do you have to say?
Yeah. I just say what I learned from the last year is that everything can change in your life quicker than you think it will.
And what do you have to, what for you was the actual change? Not being on the show, not this thing that came out of nowhere that doesn't get to happen to real people. What were the things you actually did in the aftermath of that experience that affected those changes?
I think it was just taking that first leap of faith and leaving that job, even though it was scary.
Yeah, you faced the fear.
Because... yeah, I thought about it a lot, and like I didn't like the job, but it felt like the one of the first appearances of stability in my life, and I think that's why I held on.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was stability you didn't want.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't want stability.
Actually, it sounds like your current job is actually a little less stable.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 months of the year, the summers, you got nothing, right?
Oh, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do in the summer.
No guaranteed employment.
I'm trying to...
Do you have health insurance? Do you buy your own health insurance, or do you just not have it now?
No, I don't have health insurance.
So things are remarkably less stable.
I haven't, yeah, but hey, I lied on my taxes and said I had health insurance, and they gave me a little extra money. So there's a trick.
There you go.
There's a trick if anybody's listening.
You can,
if you haven't filed your taxes yet, you can lie about it.
Now, what you're calling a trick, lying to the government, other people might call a crime.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Oh, okay. I guess we'll just take that.
I should be, I'm small potatoes to them, so I'm not concerned.
Yeah. Like, that's good. That's good. Okay.
But there's a tip for all
the
people
out there.
Lie on your taxes.
That's what you've learned in the last year. What you've learned in the last... Take a chance. Follow your instincts. Don't convince yourself that stability is worth unhappiness, and lie to the government every chance you get.
Yeah, I'd say seek instability in your life, intensity in your personal relationships, and lie to the government if it's going to benefit you.
So chaos, intensity, and crime. Those are the three things that you've learned.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. But you needed a little chaos in your life. You needed some chaos. You weren't a guy who was built for that desk.
No.
You were built for, let's take some days off because I just want to paint. I feel like painting today, and I need a job where if I need to take a day off and paint, I can do the math, make sure I can pay my rent, and then I can just paint if I feel like it.
Yeah.
That's what you needed. Not everybody needs that. That's what you needed.
I'd recommend it.
How come you never went back to painting? I don't get that still. You said it was giving you happiness.
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it until we were talking.
I want to see those paintings. I wish I could have seen them.
They're gone. It was very zen.
What if we...
went away.
What if you start making paintings again and we start selling them through the Earwolf store? What if we start selling Ron Paul's Baby originals? Original paintings by Ron Paul's Baby. Sell them through the Earwolf store. I'll talk to them. You think they would do it, Jared? Harry?
Yeah, we talked about how all the ways it changed my life. I tried to use these podcasts for dates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to monetize.
I want to help. Can we commit to that? But that's on you then to actually finish the paintings, make the paintings.
Oh, I can buy some canvases and paint some.
We will. I will commit. We will sell them through the Earwolf store if you want to try. And you can set the prices. You can go as big as you want.
Yeah. Definitely.
And I'll put you in touch.
Get a commission cut? What's the deal here?
Hey, I'll step right
out
of that.
Let's talk business.
I mean, you're going to have to set up your own splits with Earwolf, but I'll step out of that one, man. You've already done. Are you kidding me? You've already done right by me, man. This podcast is my job now. When we aired your episode, it was an experiment, and now it's a job. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never had stability, and this podcast gave me stability, and that's because you were willing to scream at a tree and be really open.
Yeah, so I gave you stability as I actively sought instability in my own life.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And now I'm feeling this feeling. It's weird because I'm saying almost that I don't know how to handle this feeling of stability and success. In many ways, kind of analogous to where you were at. I mean, I'm not slaving away at bank tech. I do my own stuff, but I'm still feeling maybe a little bit like, how do I handle this feeling of having all these obligations when life used to be chaos? I miss the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to create a little bit of chaos.
Yeah, I got to look for a way to shake it up. Maybe next year I'll be telling you about the ways that I shook it up. Took some big chances. I feel like I've been going bigger and doing things, and the HBO thing's cool. But I also feel like I haven't. I used to do some things artistically that were disasters in the making, and I've been playing a little safe. I've been playing a little safe as things get a little more locked in for me. I want to shake it up. I'm going to do something big. Shake it up for you, Ron Paul's Baby.
All right. Do you feel like you're more focused?
I feel.
Are you more focused on a few of your bigger projects?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm more scared. I'm scared. I got more to lose now, and I'm scared. I used to be daring because I didn't have anything to lose. Now I have some stuff to lose, and I'm scared.
You feel like you've built some stuff up and you're going to hold on to it?
Yeah, and also, like, I got a wife now and a mortgage now. When I was 28, 29, 30, when all this stuff started happening for me with the Gethard show, I didn't have any of that. If I got hit by a bus, people would have been sad in my life, but I wouldn't have been leaving anybody behind. I didn't have anything to leave behind. Now I do. I'm scared to lose stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe the stability, the fact that financially I'm actually doing well. I used to not know if I would be, any given point, I didn't know if I would be making money 2 or 3 months from now. Now I have an idea. And maybe I'm a little scared to take chances as big as the ones I used to because I don't want the money to go away. As I say it out loud.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not how I've ever lived.
Yeah, no. There's some freedom in knowing you don't have that far to fall if you do fall.
Yeah, I miss it. I got a little farther to fall now, but I think I need to shake it up. That's my promise to you. When we talk next year, you're going to see I'm going to do something.
Okay.
I'm going to do something that might ruin it all. I'm going to take another big swing for you.
Yeah, that's good. Do it.
And in the meantime, let's sell your paintings on the Earwolf store.
I'll go. Yeah, we can set that up.
Yeah, the producers know how to get in touch with you. You got the email addresses, right?
Yeah, I can talk to Justin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Okay. Well,
I'll send some samples.
Please do. We'll sell any bullshit you want to sell. I want to make you some cash, Ron Paul's baby. And I guarantee, you look at the feedback for this episode, I guarantee you there's going to be people who are like, I would buy a painting from Ron Paul's baby. I absolutely would. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Like I said, let's monetize this.
Big time. That's it. We're going to do it. And look, we have to wrap up. We're at the end of the hour. It's good to hear from you. I think for old time's sake, I think we know how we have to end this one.
Yeah, you want to go first?
Okay, one at the same time, and then I'll talk to you next year. Ready? One,
all right.
Two,
love you.
Three. Love you, man. Thank you for everything. You changed my life. Thanks for changing my life, man. Sincerely, thank you for changing my life. Thank you so much, Ron Paul's baby. And I'm sincere. We'll check in with you again next year. And we'll put some of your paintings on sale on the Earwolf store. And a huge thank you for making this thing explode and giving me this piece of my life that I never saw coming, that's become such a huge, joyous piece of my life. And that goes to all the callers from the past year. That goes to all the listeners from the past year. This thing has changed my life, and to be the captain of this weird ship that's dedicated to kindness and compassion and listening, it means so much to me, and very genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, and a huge thank you to all the people who helped make that happen behind the scenes too, the Reverend John DeLore and Greta Cohn, who helped build this show from the start, Jared O'Connell in the booth, Harry Nelson is helping out so much with the fan engagement, Shell Shag, contribute all the music to this show, please do support Shell Shag. Want to know more about me? ChrisGeth.com. Trying to get a beautiful anonymous tour together for the end of the year. All the dates will be up on that website. If you like the show, please do rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. It helps really sincerely so much. And thank you for a great year. I'm looking forward to a couple more. And we'll see you next time on Beautiful Anonymous. We have so many random calls that come into the show, and that's a great thing. That's the heart and soul of the show. We also, every once in a while, we use this voicemail box. So if you have a story that you think really needs to be heard, it's not getting out there, it's underrepresented, 802-392-3288. That's 802-392-3288. You call, leave a voicemail, let us know what you want to talk about. We really appreciate any unique individual story. So let us know yours, and we'll see if we can't get you on the show sometime. Next time, I'm Beautiful Anonymous. Guy tells us about all the things that happened behind the scenes on a cruise ship, including which crew members he fancied the most. When you're single and playing bass on a cruise ship, it gets pretty crazy in that department, huh? If you wanted to.
If, yeah. Well, first of all, you can't mess with the passengers or the guests, as really? We call them. That is like really, really no.
Even as the bass player?
Because of lawsuits and stuff like that, that is like the biggest rule. Obviously, it gets broken, but I didn't ever. Because to be honest, I was more interested in the Romanian waitresses. Because they look much better than the people that go on cruise ships, I'll tell you that. So.
No offense to any of our listeners who are cruise enthusiasts. That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lauren Lapkus, and I'm back. And so is my show with special guest Lauren Lapkus. It's the show where I'm always the guest, and there's a new host every week. We've got some awesome new hosts coming soon, and they're all a surprise. So you'll have to just tune in. New episodes of With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus are coming every Friday. Listen on Earwolf, iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Happy to be home.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.